Tonight, I want us to look and study on a focus of building a life of service. A life of service must be built from the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. When we're building that life of service as a Christian, remember, there are a lot of people who serve others. They have not accepted Christ. What is the difference? Well, as Christians, we know the difference. But when we see folk that have a heart for others and they don't know Jesus, that's an open field for each of us to witness and to minister. If they have that heart already for other people who are hurting, then you know that that heart is ready to receive what Christ has done for them and all of us on the cross. Matthew 20, verse 26. Whoever wants to become great must be a servant to others. The greatness that we have, that we're wanting to reach in our heart, again, as Christians, should be how, if I'm going through life, you know, climbing that ladder and all of this, like some people in the corporate world said, to success, I don't. I know that service to Christ is automatic success. And that everyone who is ready and willing to give of themselves in service to Christ, we are successful. And success has nothing to do with how much you have or how big the toys are or any of that. Success, true success that'll follow us throughout eternity is being a servant, the heart of a servant. Mark 10:45, Jesus is speaking. For even I didn't come to be served, but to serve others and give my life as a ransom for many. So therefore, as a Christian, each of us, we realize, okay, what pleases God? The heart of a servant. How do I tell God that I love him? I help someone else. I am a servant to others. Christ said that, as he said, he came to serve others. He came to show what the true love of his Father really is and how it's represented. Well, I love the Lord. Then do you serve others? Do you take care of those that don't have a hope or those who are hurting? Are you ready and willing to give of yourself? A lot of people will give money, but folks, listen to me. The greatest gift you can give to anyone is yourself, your time. There's nothing more important to us in life than time itself. We don't pay any attention to it till we start wake up one day and say, whoo, my time is getting short down here. Better jump up and start doing something. The heart of a servant focuses on how much of their time can they commit to someone else. You don't get called out in the middle of the night because of problems, because of death, because of illness. You don't get called out for no reason. You get called for the purpose of someone needs somebody that will extend the servant heart of love to them. Will you sit with me? Brother Larry, listen, you could pray. You just pray silently. I just want you here, and I want you to pray. If I can't go in the room for whatever the reason is, you don't have to. Can you come to the hospital and sit down there in the waiting room and pray? And then I'll come out and talk to you. Now, folks, people want someone who just legitimately care. I remember Donna so well over there, and when you all were working with her during the dying process with the cancer, and I was amazed at her as wanting to still serve somebody else. She had so much love in her heart. She still wanted to know what she could do for somebody else when she couldn't do for herself. Why use my life to serve others? Let's go through them. And I thought, I got 12 of them. Why use my life to serve others? Number one, because I was created for service. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Okay, we are created as a Christian, created in Christ Jesus. When we're talking about being born again, born from above, or born anew, we're talking about, as the scripture says, we are a new creation in Christ. Okay, as a Christian then, if we had not thought about service before, as a Christian, we realize that the total service to humanity is for us to do good works in the name of Christ, not in the name of self, not lifting yourself above, but the name of Christ to do. Well, did he not say God's workmanship? I'm created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Okay, why did God create me? How many people you said, I don't know my purpose? Read to them Ephesians 2:10. Well, one thing I can tell you is that you're created in Christ, being born again, to do good works. So if the works you're doing are not good, you weren't created for that, right? What makes it good? Our heart. When they say, boy, they put their heart into it, that means something to us. When you would hire somebody and they're working for you, said, now give me the one that's got his heart in it. And not the one over there that's yapping all the time wanting a break. Anyway, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, continuing with the scripture, the background on that, we will know then before time began, God had prepared in advance works for me and you to do. But before time, God knew us. So, Brother Randy, if you exist in the mind of God, spiritually, have you existed with God since the thought? Yes. So when people say, how old are you, Larry? Well, I don't have to lie. I just really don't know. Because I was created in God's mind before time. That gets a lot of people in the abortion end of it in big time trouble. Does God know that they would be slaughtered? Yes. But it doesn't mean that God didn't create them anyway. It didn't mean, because they never saw the light of day here on earth, doesn't mean they're not God's children. So we've got to watch ourselves when the Lord says, watch after my children. You all know that I was... No, I'll wait till another day to tell you that. But what you watch is when you're not wanted and somebody tries to stop it at birth. Is God still in control? Yep. Number two, I am saved for service. I was created to serve. I'm saved for service. 2 Timothy 1:9. It is God who saved us and chose us for his holy work. I'd call that being number one. That we are a part of God's family, and we are the family that God thought of before time existed. That's a lot of love. You know, and God would have to know all the dumb things that I would end up doing in my life. Stupid mistakes, the rebellion, and all of this. And he loved me anyway. We're getting ready to celebrate what his son has done for us. Of course, this church, we celebrate it every Sunday. But we're celebrating what Christ has done for us. And as we celebrate it, we need to understand, through our bad behavior, God's love did not wane. God would protect us. He protect us in the tank. Mike got awful heart and a lot of hot and a lot of scars, but you're breathing today, aren't you, brother? Right. Yep. And so God knows, and he's not going to walk away. Have you thought that what went on that cross of his son being in such agony, but God knowing that the greatest agony that was to come had not hit his son yet. And that was when God turned his back. That was when, for that, whatever it was, millisecond, whatever it was, for that time period, payment had to be made, and God did it on himself, his own son. I say, folks, that makes us special. Why would we hesitate to follow him in love, in service? Does he not give us everything to give to somebody else? Does not everything we have, whether it's food, you know, a loaf of bread, you know, if your neighbor comes and, you know, wants a loaf of bread, you don't want to get up because you'd already got the doors locked and you don't know what the Romans are going to do. But because they keep pounding at the door, and the Lord just walks into our heart and he says, I love you. What can I do for you today? And what are we wasted on? Oh, Lord, give me a Cadillac or give me the Lamborghini, and that'll be, and we waste time. Time that God has given us to receive his blessing. We think of blessings as being something physical. No, it's not. There's no blessing that I've ever received in life, folks, better than to have that feeling of such great love from Christ, not because I've done anything right, but because he did everything right. And I know at any point I close my eyes and I won't be in this world, be standing, walking around and won't be in this world, I know the world where I will be. Now, what do they call it? Kingdom? Who cares? You walking with Jesus, are you going to say, well, Lord, I walk with you just going, we're going down Main Street? Yeah, I went, okay. Galatians 1:15. On three, I've been called by God to service. God in his grace chose me even before I was born. I told you all. And called me to serve him. We were called to service before we were born, folks. Meaning that the call went out when we were in the mind of God. Well, explain that. Good gracious, I'm already over my head. You can't explain the love of God. We can and it's not with a little quip, oh, it's agape love. That describes only the love of God. The agape love, the love of God, yes, but it still doesn't express how much love that is. You and I cannot wrap our mind around it. Only thing we can wrap our mind around is people who make us happy and, you know, doing what we want them to do. And we say, I love you, so they must love me because they were doing. But then later on, you find out what was going on when you wasn't looking. I remember what was going on when my mother wasn't looking. Huh? I know that you three men back there did the same thing. Ephesians 4:1. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. How do I live a life worthy of the calling I've received? You live a life of servant. You are ready, Lord, here I am. Lord, send me. And then we got to quit trying to pick where we want him to send us. It's just basic, Father, I'm here. I am who you've created me to be. Please lead me in the direction to where I can serve the way you want me to. Okay, how do I know I'm serving the Lord the way he wants me to? It'd be real good if we would talk to him about it. It's called prayer. It's called, Lord, please give me direction to someone who is hurting. Don't you think he won't do that? Actually, a lot of times, here's a hint. He'll lead you to the bathroom, to the mirror, and let you look at it. Start right there. It doesn't have to be in the bathroom, but you start at the mirror. I knew what was coming out of you, kidder. Number four, I've been gifted for service. We got the gift. Did you all ever hear or anybody in your classes when you're teaching talk about, well, how do I know what gifts I have? Ask them this, what talents do you have? I don't know that I can do anything. The only thing that I know that I can do is, you know, I know how to, remote control. Okay, get good at it. 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you individually, got that, some special abilities. So be sure to use them to help each other. If a Christian will not help a fellow Christian, what would make you think that a Christian then would help those who are not Christian? If you won't take care of your own family, you're not going to take care of somebody else's family either. And as Peter would say, if you're too ornery to work, you ought not be allowed to eat. But somebody rewrote some of that and said, well, go to Vine Grove Baptist Church. You know, and that's fine. When we give what we give in this church, we give it for the right reason. If someone misuses it, that's not on us. Number 5, I am commanded to serve others. Larry, would you please go out there and do that? I am commanded to serve others. Matthew 20, verse 28. Your attitude must be like my own, for I did not come to be served, but to serve. That's Jesus saying our attitude ought to be like his. Just be there. And while you're just there, serve. Somebody needs us to serve them. Jesus served every one of us. Number 6, it proves that I belong to Christ. The proof that I belong to Christ if I serve others. Romans 7:4, you are part of the body of Christ and you belong to him. In order that we might be useful in the service of God. The body of Christ is the church. We unite together to where each of us together with our individual gifts, with our individual talents, we tie all that together with our fellow member and talents, and then we serve Christ as a body of Christ. Number 7, my church family needs my service. Now, as my wife said, I may have gotten just a tad strong in my article for this coming month. But let me tell you what she was talking about, and it's being left just like I had it. But it was the idea of people who said we want more. We want more things for our youth, for our children. That's not our problem. That's not our problem in this church at all. And I said, because of my Sunday school teachers, Vacation Bible School, Children's Church, and all of those, the ones who minister now in service as teachers, we're doing a great job. That's not our problem. Our problem is we don't have the workers to do more with our children that people are saying we need to do. Well, here's what you've got to do for the youth. Let me tell you, the best blessing that you and I have and the best focus of service is to share Christ and his story. It is not to pander to the youth or to children. It is to teach youth and children. That's a heart of service, and that should be the commitment of the church. But when people say, well, you know, we just don't have enough for them. Well, then why don't you start to work and let's start whatever you're talking about and you serve them that way. Always interesting, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 12:27, all of you together are the one body of Christ. didn't say that I'm the body of Christ individually. I'm saved individually. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each of you is a separate and necessary part of it. When people say, well, you know, I just don't think that I'm necessary. If you're not necessary, you're gone. The Lord take you home. Don't worry about it. When we complete what God has called us to do, think of this. Why would God punish me to leave me here if he was through with me? He doesn't do that to us. He leaves us here for a purpose. And when we have fulfilled the purpose God has called us to, maybe our purpose he's called us, it doesn't even come into existence until you're 110 years old. And we're saying, Lord, why am I here? Well, there's a purpose, and we do not know the mind of God. Okay. Number 8, serving others is the way to serve God. That was my little speech at the beginning of this. Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Okay? If I know that God has called me to do something, then I work. I don't wait for somebody to say, give me a bunch of attaboys. For one thing, you're not going to get a bunch of attaboys. And a lot of people who get the attaboys don't do anything. A lot of attaboys. But here's the greatest attaboy each of us search. And that is to know that we have served God by serving others to help as working for the Lord. Why would I expect... If I'm working for the Lord in a ministry, why would I expect more blessings than... You can't get any greater blessings than know you're working for the Lord, right? If you know you're doing the right thing for the Lord, then nobody has to say, you're doing the right thing for the Lord. Number 9, because I owe everything to Christ. Yeah, self-made men. Those self-made men are made for the dumpster. And that's about as far as anything they've done. As the people will say, I'm a self-made millionaire. Ooh, well, there goes that money. It's gone. If you made it yourself, and not only that, if you made it yourself, you're sure not going to give 10% of it to God because he didn't help you out. Think of that. Probably I could have put it a little more Gentile. Romans 12:1, because of God's great mercy to us, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. He didn't say it to get on a pew, what was it? Sit, soak, and sour. You sit, soak, and sour. He said, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, dedicated to his service, right? His service. Number 10, because service makes life meaningful. It really does. I remember a lady that's sitting in this room right now that just got a blessing from a little a kid that just wanted something to eat, or the candy bar. I can't remember the... But I do remember to see the eyes of a child when you take their side. To see those dancing eyes and, always remember the inmates and the children that would come to me when they'd get there for visitation, knowing that I'd straighten their daddy out in a heartbeat and I'd do it in front of them. And you see those little faces just glisten. Because then those eyes dance, and the jailer worried to death I was getting sued again. Number 10, because service makes life meaningful. Mark 8:35. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, the gospel of Christ, you will find true life. And it's not in a thing, folks. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Keep busy in your work for the Lord. Keep busy in your work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is ever without value. That'll last for eternity. Remember, anything you do through the love of Christ, all of that is going to last throughout eternity. Number 11, I will be held accountable for my service. Again, don't get this confused with the idea of being a Christian and a Christian who is accountable for every word spoken, every idle word, that is during that accounting process that there's a chance you can go to hell. Folks, get that settled in your mind. If you said yes to Jesus Christ, you are a child of God, and that is an impossibility for one drop of the blood of Christ to be in hell. Can't happen. But, folks, we will be accountable for them. As one guy said, well, I wonder how bad I'm going to feel when I see what I could have done. I said, your problem is you're thinking from the human standpoint. Don't do that. Because the love of God is spiritual, folks. You and I won't understand it. Because you understand, you know, God, why don't you love me? I don't even like me, much less love me myself. But God does. Romans 14:12, each of us will have to give a personal account to God. And what's the first word that you're going to hear from yourself? I plead the blood. You know, Lord, I'm here on account of who Jesus is. I'm here on account of his blood. There will be no self-human pride that'll ever enter the gates of heaven. It'll be burned with all the other trash. But when we walk through, folks, you got to remember, after the judgment seat of Christ, we are polished up big time. Number 12. Because I will be rewarded for my service. Brother Randy, do you remember what we do with the rewards that God gives us for serving him? Where do we lay it?
Jesus' feet.
Yes, we do. When people talk about, you know, the stars in my crown and all that, why would we want, it always seems sort of like a human selfish desire to want to get more in the crown, you know, more good works. But as Christians, we understand that everything good that we have here, we will lay at the feet of Christ. And in so doing, we are saying openly, spiritually, and all, that only the Lamb is worthy. Oh man, we're already in the family. John 12:26. Jesus said, my Father will honor anyone who serves me. Anyone. That includes us men. As ornery as we are. I'm not going to say a thing about the women. God will honor us because we say we are Christian. Again, I want you all to think, if the world continues to go as it is, how many people in the United States of America will refuse to say, I believe in Christ? I'm a Christian. Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. That lets you know it doesn't matter how much you have on earth, it's nothing compared to what's coming. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The ultimate of happiness, to be as happy as God. And I mean, he was even happy when he was talking about he was sorry he made man. That doesn't translate the right way when we read that for us. But I can tell you this. He said, I love you so much, I'll send my son to take care of your mess. Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, Lord, if you'll give me the directions and you give me the guidelines and you let me know that I'm going to cross that finish line, then I'll get up and I'll be about your business. That's not faith. That's doubt looking for proof. I have faith, Lord, till you show me. What, somebody ought to read the Bible. And they ought to focus on the showing part is spiritual. I do not understand. The majority of what's physical, I can guarantee you, but I do know this. If Jesus said it, I believe it. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. He is what? He is God. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So people that'll get down on a Christian because that Christian is saying, you know, I want this, I realize I'm getting a reward for this. I want this reward. They're saying it to glorify Christ, folks. We say that to glorify him because Scripture tells us that for he who comes to God, first of all, you must believe that he is God. Next then, I must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So therefore, I believe in the rewards for service to Christ. And if I'm going to say I'm a Christian, his word says you must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder. So I believe that he is God and I believe that he is a rewarder, and you and I will be getting rewards because of who he is within our life. Here's our response. Psalm 86:11. Teach me to serve you with complete devotion. Psalm 100 verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness.